Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of Know Your Enemy. Hanging out, as always, of course, my name is Michael Beck, deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Hanging out, joining me as always, our film guru, our one of our contributors to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Jeffrey Benedict. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good. In spite of other things, I'm doing good.
And don't adjust your screens. Yes, the man below us is surrounded by New England Patriots gear, but Mitch Mullany from the Bottom Line View is an expert in all things NFL. He is joining us tonight, helping out to break down this matchup that has been moved. Mitch, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to talk strictly for one team. It's actually an interesting job you guys have, just focusing on one team all year long. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. Ravens Steelers rivalry, I mean, Mike, you know, I cherish this rivalry. So
yeah, and all the people that will be tuning into this do as well. When you guys log off the show, make sure to check out Mitchell's channel on YouTube, The Bottom Line View. He does cover everything all across the NFL. As we first get into this here, Jeffrey, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on this game being delayed?
I have a lot of them. I tend to follow the Tomlin for inside the Steelers, and as a Steelers fan, I follow the Mike Tomlin route, and that is, you know, give them the time and the day to show up, and let's do it. Like, let's forget all the other stuff, forget all the distractions. In the end, it's football. You know, show up, play the game whenever that game happens. As far as the how this all happened, like it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. What we're hearing now is there's a coach for the Ravens, a strength and conditioning coach that they're disciplining because he's consistently failed to follow the rules for like COVID and player safety. And I'm like, he's a strength and conditioning coach that ignores the rules you put in place for player safety and also the NFL rules about COVID. Like, if you're saying he's consistently done this, why hasn't it already been fixed? Like, why did you wait until after a game has to be moved and you have seven players unavailable for a game before you're like, hey, man, maybe you should have been following the rules? So I think this is one of those times where, you know what, the initial reaction, people want them to forfeit all these things. Forget that. The NFL needs to really look into this, though. And if the Ravens really were just turning a blind eye while this guy was just blatantly not following rules, then something has to happen.
Yeah, now, Mitch, with that happening, of course, you see in weeks past, Mike Tomlin picked up a $100,000 fine for not having his face mask up for an entire game. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, some pretty hefty fines. The Raiders, of course, lost a mid-round draft pick. Now, in this scenario, a whole locker room kind of got hammered by this pandemic, this outbreak, I should say. And do you think there's any chance that they might be facing any sort of fines up to that level, or do you expect any sort of punishment to come Baltimore's way?
First off, I think it's a punishment that they just simply lose the players in the game. I mean, that's a punishment, especially in this game in particular versus the Steelers. I don't see it being a Raiders fine. I could see it being a, like, not a draft pick is what I'm saying. I could see it being possibly to do with the organization. I don't know how you can actually find the players. I don't think you can find the players individually, but you could find the organization in some way. But yeah, I don't see it being the players.
Now, speaking of those seven players, Jeffrey, what do you think the impact on the game? Like, there's some big name guys that are going to be out. Calais Campbell, Williams, the D tackles out, the two starting running backs, the starting center, the backup center. That's going to be huge right there. What's the impact going to be for the Steelers in this one? Because Baltimore's out some pretty key pieces.
Are those all guys that actually tested positive? Or because I kept looking, I couldn't get a really clear distinction between close contact and the guys who actually tested positive, because like the close contact should be able to come back if they pass all their tests from now on, whereas the guys who have actually tested, I believe, can't come back.
I think the close contacts, it would have had to have been on Monday for close contacts.
Okay.
So anyone post then would be subject not to be able to play. So I think Brandon Williams would be the only person that potentially could play if that is the case. There is some, like, weird, almost gray area when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, it's really like we don't have enough information to really be sure who's all going to play right now.
Well, Calais Campbell was already hurt before.
Yeah.
A couple of them were already injured. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, with that, it's going to be interesting to see how the roster shakes up. Of course, Derek Wolfe was on the injury report with a sickness. Whatever that means, that's because when you look at the Steelers, they had Anthony McFarland who had a sickness. It wasn't COVID, but he hasn't been at the facility for over a week now, or not previously. They had someone else with a sickness that missed a game. They just didn't travel. It didn't end up being COVID, but it was just precautionary. Yeah. With all that kind of going on now, Mitch, when you look at this situation, what do you think is going on in this Ravens locker room? Do you think they're even going to be prepared to play it, or do you think their mind could be off football in one sort of sense?
I have a lot of respect for Harbaugh. I always respect his teams, his preparation. He always seems to have his players going. So I don't think it's going to be necessarily the team's not going to be ready to go. I think if they win, they win. If they lose, it's because they lose. Yeah, it hurts not to have the players out there. But I'm not going to blame it on internal locker room struggle of preparation. It will hurt them in terms of practice because obviously you're taking time away to prep for the Steelers. But again, like Harbaugh, he's been in the biggest of games and this team has a really strong foundation of leadership. I don't see that necessarily being an excuse for them at all. But yeah, it could hurt them. I just don't know how much. I think, put it in this perspective, the Ravens are one of the teams that I would say if anyone can overcome this, it's them.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. And on the flip side, the AFC North has been hammered by this, Jeffrey. We've seen that, like the Browns, I believe, put someone on the COVID list this morning. I think the Bengals had put someone on the COVID list. Of course, the Ravens this week has been insane. The Steelers had Vance McDonald and Kevin Dotson test positive. A whole bunch of close positives or close
contacts.
Contacts. it's kind of interesting to see how it goes. Like, I know not to relate it in this sort of sense, but because of how Coach Tomlin has kind of handled this, the whole Steelers locker room, I feel like, is really bought in to a certain degree. Does that make him more likely to be in some sort of, especially in this weird year, in that kind of coach of the year speak? You know, they have the record. And then on the flip side of it, you see the rest of the AFC North getting absolutely hammered by this, and they're facing these guys that are testing positive. Do you think that might be something that could be factored into some sort of award?
It could end up where the NFL is telling, like, hey, don't be voting coach of the year for people who you are getting fined for not following protocols and are getting in trouble. They could kind of, there are people they can lean on to be like, you know, push your vote away from those guys. I think it should play in, and I think it will end up playing in simply because the teams that are following the protocols are going to have more practices, are going to have more players available, and they're going to win more. The Steelers really embraced from the start that this was a season not just about how well you play, but how well you managed COVID and how well you avoided having these kind of outbreaks. They really embraced that from the start, and they're seeing the benefit of it.
Right now, we will talk a little about the matchup, but of course we have done Know Your Enemy on the Ravens before. It is a fairly similar team, but we will get more into that football stuff as we go. But still continuing on with all the kind of news of the day, we saw a ton of Steelers players take to social media. Mitch, I don't know if you've seen quite the amount it was. Juju, Chase Claypool, Mike Hilton, yeah. Duck Hodges, Eric Ebron, like pretty much the whole team was expressing how mad they were. Did you see any of that? And do you think that might add everything going on, motivate this team going forward?
I think it doesn't motivate them necessarily, but I think it adds to the fuel of the game, like the chippiness of the nature of the rivalry between the Ravens and the Steelers. I think it's just another reason to throw on top of everything within the trash talk, within the lines and getting in the Ravens' face. I do think there could be something to that. Maybe even between Tomlin and Harbaugh, like Tomlin, like being like, get your team together. Like, but I don't really see it being like a motivation, like, oh, we got to beat these guys because, you know, we're mad that they couldn't play on Thanksgiving. Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting to see whether or not that adds to the fire. But I think it might add in a sense that the Steelers lost their bye week earlier this year against the Titans. Like they ended up practicing all week. So the only difference that week is they didn't play on Sunday. Now this week, Mike Tomlin was going to give the Steelers players off till next Wednesday after the game. So almost a week off. So with all that going on, Jeffrey, I'll ask both of you guys this, but with all that going on, the Steelers having no rest, essentially, this entire year. They practiced as much or more than any team because of all the outside factors. Is clinching this number one seed in the AFC the most important thing for the Steelers team to do?
I don't think so. I think for me, it's being healthy is number one. Like if they go into week 17 and they don't need to win that game and they can't really get the number one seed, I mean, you can just rest guys then. I know they would love to have a bye. That would be a great thing for them. Especially as you were saying, like the team got special permission to violate the collective bargaining agreement and hold from the union and the NFL to hold more practices than they were allowed to on their bye week, like in that area. So these players are already facing a season where they will practice more than they are allowed to practice. They are going to practice more than they are allowed under the agreement with special permission because the NFL had to move their games. And now they're doing this quick ramp up for the Ravens. And then bam, the day before the game. Oh, by the way, it's Sunday. Sorry about, you know, the days off you didn't get this week either. Like, and the days off you were going to get to make up for it that you also aren't going to get. Like, that's just absolutely crazy that they are the team that is going to twice now have too many practices. I understand why the players are mad. Like, even like Devlin Hodges talking, he was like, I was going to go hunting this weekend. Like, I had Saturday and Sunday. I was going to be out hunting. I was just going to go chill, relax, do my own thing, get away from football. That's just healthy. Like, that's healthy to get away from work for a weekend. That's just, you know, good natural mental health. And they're not allowed to do that. They're not going to be able to do that. And that really sucks if you're, you know, in that situation. So I understand why they're complaining. I expect Tomlin's going to get that reined in. They're not going to keep whining about it, but I understand why they're angry. It's perfectly justified.
You know what? I thought it was interesting because it seemed like all the players did it together. It's almost like the locker room said, you know what? We're tired of this. Yeah. And like, they really are like a very cohesive unit. It seems like if someone's going to say something, they all are. And that's kind of something we saw. Cause like even quiet guys like Bud Dupree was chiming in. It was pretty interesting to see how that went. But Mitch, on the scale of the same question, if the Chiefs were to end up with a bye week, do you think that could like limit the Steelers' ability to even make it to a Super Bowl because they've essentially played at that point? It would be like 20 weeks straight of football.
That's a good question. I think 2020 is extremely unique and it's going to be impossible to predict because something I've been seeing over the course of the season is home field doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. So in past years where, let's just put it, you know, being a Patriots fan, like if they had to go to Denver, how much of a difference was that instead of playing in Gillette, right? So in past years with the crowd and the environment, the only thing that really matters is weather. But then when you look at Kansas City and you look at Pittsburgh, it's kind of similar. So, and those are clearly the two top teams in the AFC, in my opinion. Maybe you get a slightly tougher matchup in the playoffs in terms of the not getting the bye and having to continuously play. They do have a chance at the end of the season where they could rest some players like week 17, possibly. So that might negate that factor. I think it has more to do with in the playoffs, the matchups between the two teams, but then what's the weather like? Because I think if Pittsburgh is playing in a game where it's wet and it's snowing, how much does their ability to win that game versus the Chiefs go up? Because I think it's substantial. Because if they play in a game that's a fast track versus Kansas City, it might be a lot more difficult because we know how much they can score. So that is kind of the factor to me, more so than rest, or because you could gain momentum. We've seen wild card teams before go to the Super Bowl because they have momentum. So it's a happy balance, and 2020 is going to be really interesting to just kind of watch and see how it unfolds.
Yeah, no, Jeffrey, I do want to ask you that kind of that side question on that as well. Like, with the Steelers not having a break, do you think that could be the undoing of this team, or is that something that's kind of blown out of proportion?
It hurts. It hurts the players. I think it hurts the player health more than it hurts the team. I think you're more likely to see nagging injuries carry on into the offseason. But mostly for the games, they're going to play through that. They're going, you know, you're going to get those kind of things. I don't think it's a deal breaker. I don't think it's a make or break type of a level of incident. And like one of the commenters in our live chat said, if they want a week off, they can always go to the Super Bowl. Get a week off then.
That is very true. Who even knows if the Ravens continue to test positive and this game gets bumped, because I know what the NFL's plan was, because they did have an emergency general manager's meeting. If an important seeding game had to be bumped, they'd have to set that to the end of the year in a week 18, and then they would add an eighth playoff team. So yeah, that would be extremely interesting to see how that plays out. Because then all of a sudden there is no bye week for anyone. And then I think the Steelers absolutely look at the Browns game to try to rest some people, potentially even the Colts game at that point. Because like you were saying, Mitch, I don't know how much that necessarily matters with the home field advantage. But I'll get to the super chat in 1 second. Mitch, I want to get in the football talk here as well. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, what is going on? The last 4 weeks, he has not been MVP Lamar. What's going on there?
That's a good question. I think it starts with the offensive line. Of course, offensive line play impacts the quarterback, obviously. But the offensive line last year was phenomenal. I mean, how many Pro Bowlers did they send, right? Marshall Yanda, Hall of Famer, retires. Ronnie Stanley, the best left tackle in the league, right? Out. So those guys are hugely impactful. So the time that Lamar has had to throw is dipped. But I think it also has to do with – it has more to do with the players around him. So the offensive line, the receivers. Marquise Brown has not become a number one receiver. He's kind of soft. He, you know, gets pushed off routes. He's not consistent. Mark Andrews has not played to an elite caliber tight end that we saw last year. And all of that collectively has to do with the scheme that they've been running, which we kind of saw similar things with Colin Kaepernick in the same scheme with the same offensive coordinator, where he regressed in his second year after being, you know, unreal the first year. So I don't think it's necessarily Lamar, because I think Lamar is an elite talent that when you have the pieces around him like other quarterbacks, he can be MVP. But when you strip those pieces away, the run game becomes less efficient the way they relied on it last year. The protection isn't as good. The receivers aren't as good. He's going to regress into an area that he's good, but he's not MVP, because he does have his flaws with he's not as accurate. He's not, you know, those are his flaws. He's not the greatest passer, but if you allow him to be a dynamic athlete, that's when he can take over and be the best quarterback in the league at times.
Right now, Snowman did put $5 in the tip jar and says, what happens if those Ratbirds players are still sick? Do they postpone the game until later the year or what? I did kind of answer that, but it's going to be interesting to see when those positive tests stop. We saw with the Titans, I believe that lasted like 10 days. I think it was 10 consecutive days they had positive tests. So it could be bumped to a week 18. It most likely still going to go on Sunday just without those players if no one else tests positive from here on out. But it will be interesting to see how that goes. Now, Jeffrey, outside of that, Lamar Jackson and this whole Ravens team, what's the difference between the two teams from when they played in week 8 versus when they're playing now?
Yeah, we saw them against the Steelers was really a kind of a turn. We saw them after the bye, and I was in here building up John Harbaugh and how good he is the week after the bye and coming out of the bye and how good that team does. We've seen the opposite. We've seen the exact opposite this year. Came into the bye at 5-1. They're 1-3 since the bye week. Marquise Brown, I was going to call him Antonio. Marquise Brown, his stats have fallen through the floor. Like, he has just dropped off. He started pretty good. he has gone steadily and steadily worse as the season goes on. I agree with Mitch. He is at this point still a football player, but not a wide receiver. He is a phenomenal guy with the ball in his hands, but he is not a good wide receiver yet.
And that's the thing, right? Like they don't give him the ball in space. Yeah. Like they don't like use him as Deebo Samuel. It's not like they like give him little reverses and stuff. He's just, okay, run your route.
Yeah. And he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. Like the Steelers, even when Antonio Brown was really young, he was not really a good wide receiver yet. They found ways to get him the ball. They would bump guys off of him to get, you know, get him freed up and just get him an easy catch and then let him go do his thing. Mm-hmm. But I think even more than Brown, is we're seeing the loss of Mark Ingram, the decline of Mark Ingram, the injury he had. And since he's returned from that knee injury, he was out against the Steelers. And since he's returned, 7 rushes for 7 yards, he is not the same player. It's the same impact you saw with Alvin Kamara. If you look at Alvin Kamara's stats on the Saints, when, Ingram was there versus now, Alvin Kamara is still the same running back, but his yards per carry have dropped. His touchdown numbers have dropped. His big plays have dropped in the run game. He's still a great receiver. But it's just that when you lose that threat of a guy who can just plow into the line and drive for 4 or 5 yards, drive into a pile, break through and gain a 20-yard gain when you thought you had 4 guys on him, like that kind of power makes a guy like Lamar Jackson so much more dangerous because you have to jam the middle. You have to. When he fakes that handoff on their veer play, when he goes again, if that's Mark Ingram going to take that handoff, you have to dogpile the middle of the field or they're getting 5-6 yards. And so when he pulls it out and runs, you're all trapped in the middle. When it's a J.K. Dobbins, when it's a Gus Edwards, it's not the same threat, especially with J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins runs like Lamar. Like he's got more power than Lamar, but they're both fast. They're both big play breaking capable guys. But Dobbins isn't gonna run into 3 defenders and drag them for another 3 yards. You get 2 guys on Dobbins, you've tackled him. Mark Ingram, you got 2 guys on Mark Ingram, you need to bring a couple more because he's gonna keep grinding yards. So that has really hurt as you don't have that threat pulling so many people inside. With their 3 wide receiver sets, with their spread, you know, more spread look at offense out of that pistol, I think that is a big hurt. Other than that, like really, yeah, the offensive line is not the same. The run game is not the same without Ingram. I mean, the Steelers are going to face Gus Edwards, who gashes them horribly for
Gus
some reason.
He's good.
Yeah, he's very solid. He's a very solid running back. Yeah. He just happens to have the Steelers' number. Like the Steelers are like, we don't know how to tackle this guy. Where is he going to run? We don't know. We forgot how football works. So that's it for me. Like they really Mark Ingram, run game, and whatever is going on inside Marquise Brown's brain. It's like they fast forwarded to the end of Antonio Brown's career with this kid.
What's the point of having soldiers if you're not going to use them?
Yeah, I don't know.
The infamous tweet from Hollywood Brown hasn't done anything since then.
Yeah, what's the point of having wide receivers if they can't run routes? Like, back at you, bud.
That's what they did say about DK Metcalf, though, to be fair.
That's true.
DK is a whole other animal.
That's true. I love DK Metcalf. My scout evaluation on him was he's not really a great route runner, but who cares?
Yeah,
if he can run straight forward and you're like, please, we can't stop him, it doesn't matter.
Oh, goodness. Mitch, speaking of the Steelers, they're 10-0, yet they're one of the more disrespected teams seemingly in this league. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why they're picking up so much flack. Do you have any idea why people are hating on them as much? And do you understand? Do you side with that, that observation, or what's going on there?
So I like the Chiefs more. I think the Chiefs are better. But that's kind of like because of if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man, right? Ric Flair, baby. The Steelers are really good. I would have them as the number 2 team in the NFL. They're undefeated. They've played great. I think they're one of the more balanced teams in the NFL, and that's something that's been very difficult to see. I've recently said that defense doesn't exist in the NFL right now. And I believe it doesn't. I mean, when you look across the league, I think it's probably the highest scoring season we've ever had. I don't know that for sure, but I could probably guess. And the Steelers, yes, they've been getting disrespected. I think it has to do with what people are looking for from their teams nowadays in terms of when they're viewing and how they're watching. Okay, so the Steelers aren't a scroll through Instagram, see a highlight play team, right? They're not a box score team. They're kind of old school in that way. They're not the Chiefs. They're not going to put up 40 points every week. They're more of a built on their defense and Ben making plays with his receivers. And I think it also has to do with from more of the professional side or media side. It has a lot to do with the competition they face because they haven't faced like the top team in the NFC or the AFC. Everybody's kind of like, you know, we're still waiting for them to play Kansas City or New Orleans or whatever. And they just haven't been able to play that team yet, even though they have beat the teams that are good when they face them, right? The Titans, I guess the Ravens are considered good, but like, yeah, I think it's a combination of all those things right now.
Yeah, and you know what? I think to a degree, it is fair that people look at this team and are saying like, oh, like, are they really that good? Like, you can point at the schedule a little bit. It is interesting at the time of playing some of these teams. The Steelers have beat as many teams with winning records as the Chiefs had at this point in the year. So that is something I think worth noting. But like you said, like, They still have to. I think the measuring stick of this year is whether or not they can beat the Chiefs. And at this point in the season, that is probably only going to happen in an AFC Championship. So that's really what it's going to boil down to. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. Now, Jeffrey, in the same sense, do you think the Steelers are getting disrespected? But then are people within the Steelers fan base just been able to watch this team on a weekly basis, win every single game? Do you think that's where the Steelers side of all this is stemming from?
I think the being 10-0, everyone wants to see, you know, we have the best record. We're the best team. We have faced good teams. And when we faced scrappy teams, we've managed to get it done. The Chiefs lost to the Raiders. I mean, they lost to the Raiders. We've beat teams as good as the Raiders. Like, we've done that. Like, we haven't lost anybody on that kind of a level. So I understand people saying that. But I also understand the power rankings. Like, I understand why you put the Chiefs ahead. I laughed when I saw someone putting the Saints ahead of the Steelers. That's ridiculous. But the Chiefs, like, I've got to agree with Mitch again. Like, seriously, defense in the NFL is not something – that's not something Roger Goodell wants. He doesn't know they don't want defense to be the story in the NFL. I think as the playoffs come closer, maybe we see a little more defense be important. But as long as it's the current NFL and you've got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the same team, I don't know how you can go wrong putting the Chiefs ahead of anybody, including the Steelers. In a season where we've lost Devin Bush. I love the guys we have. I love the way our defense has played. But seriously, how do you match up with the Chiefs? You look at our defense, you look at the Chiefs, you say, you know, the Steelers are going to have a hard time matching up with them. So I understand it. I do think the Steelers deserve a little more credit for actually being 10-0. Like, it's not if you're undefeated, you've played a weak schedule. You have. Like, you just have. The 72 Dolphins, someone showed that they beat teams. And they had, like, two games against the team that finished with a winning record. It was the same team. You know, they beat the same team twice, and that was the only team they faced with a winning record. Like, that's how you go undefeated. That's simply how it is in the NFL. So the Steelers do deserve more credit, but I also think Steelers fans get a little too defensive about their team. They're used to it, though. They're used to Ben Roethlisberger being listed as like the 14th best quarterback in the NFL when he's clearly in the discussion of top five, if not a lock in the top five. And we're just used to it. We're just used to that because people get tired of putting the Steelers high. And also, I still do. I know those articles are written just to get me to click on them because I'm like, you can't put the Steelers that low. And it works. I still click on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still click on them. I still get angry. I still, when people post like, look at this guy, right? I click on it and go and give him another view. Like, I'm going to do it. So I understand why they do. I understand why Steelers fans get defensive. It's a whole mess. But it's not surprising to me.
All right. So everyone listening on the podcast platform right now, we are going to switch over to our second part. If you're watching on YouTube, just hang tough, and we will be right back in the second part.